Good morning. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all assembled be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen. I hope as I was talking with the children up here this morning, you're getting a little bit of an idea
of what the Christmas adjective series is supposed to be about. You know, we talk about Christmas all the time as that specific day. But what we wanted to look at this Advent season is looking at Christmas, how it describes different words. Because if you just say cookie, it means something maybe totally different than when we add Christmas cookie to that. It gives us a whole different idea of what type of cookie we're looking at. And so as we're looking at these different themes, what we're wanting to get across is, as people look at us, what do Christmas people look like? And so as I said with the kids, we looked at Christmas cookies that first week and talked about the sweetness of them, that sugar is what attracts us to those cookies. And that in some way, as we live our lives in this world, we can be a display of that sweetness, that kindness that came to us through Jesus, that comes to us through Him each and every day, that we can exhibit some of that in our own lives. Last week, we looked at Christmas shopping and how competitive that can be, you know, tackling each other, ripping things out of people's hands to get what you want, and the idea of comparing what we get with what someone else gets. And we looked at how we want to limit that. And even in the idea of boasting, how we limit our boasting, there's certainly things that we can be proud of, and like I said, in our church that's going on, but yet we limit that and we want to boast in the Lord. But the whole idea really of humbling ourselves, not placing ourselves above someone else. Today we get to Christmas cheer. Now this is a time of year when it's supposed to be the happiest season of all, right? And so some of our phrases say it, some of our lines and songs say it. If I say blank to the world, what would you say?
Joy.
Joy to the world. Tis the season to be. We wish you a Merry Christmas. So all of these ideas coming into play that, I mean, this is a happy time of year, right? For most. For some. Because there's always those things that come up, pain and sorrow and sickness and stuff that people deal with that can make Christmas and some of the most joyable times that we would think of in our life, the most joyable, can make them rather hard. And I know, I mean, I know that we have several people in here this morning that Christmas is not going to be the same this year. It's been a joyful time for so many years, but now a loved one is not going to be there. And that's hard. I mean, and people lose jobs during this time of the year. They encounter financial difficulties. There's relationship struggles. There's all sorts of issues that come up that make Christmas, the most happy time of the year, painful. And so how do we deal with that? How can we walk through those difficult times? Any of those that I mentioned in another one, sicknesses, illnesses. I know we have someone in the hospital right now that was supposed to maybe be there for 3 to 5 days and it's working on 2 weeks. How do you deal with that? And I think as we look at our Hebrews passage this morning, it gives us a little bit of a glimpse and an idea of how we can still have joy in what we would consider difficult situations. And unfortunately, or maybe fortunately, you know what our theme for Wednesday is, right? The gift of joy. So you may hear a little bit of some of the same stuff, but don't give that a reason as not to be here on Wednesday, okay? It's not going to be the same sermon, but it's going to kind of carry the same theme. But if we look at Hebrews chapter 12, that passage that was read, we're really just going to look at the first three verses. But the first verse says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." Now, anytime you see the word "therefore," you have to ask, what is it therefore? Okay? Because it means that there's something that's come before it that's probably pretty important and has to do with what's going to be said next. And in this case, in Hebrews chapter 12, it's talking about all of chapter 11, which is what we would call the great hall of faith, a hall of fame of faith of people who've gone before in the Old Testament, in the Bible, who have been declared faithful before God. And if you read that list, you'll notice that there are a lot of people that you think, they were really kind of messed up along the way. Which I think it goes back to what we talked about this morning in Bible class. Who makes us right before God? Jesus does. And so, but we see this list and we think, man, they murdered someone. They committed adultery. They did all these things, but yet God is declaring them to be righteous and faithful. And these people experienced some great times, but they also experienced some very tough, challenging, difficult situations. I just want to jump back to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32. And it says, "And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Japheth, David, and Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again." You think those are good times? Sounds pretty successful and good, right? But now let me just continue. "Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskin and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated." Was it last Sunday or on Wednesday that I said there's just some things in life that we didn't sign up for when we were born? I'm going to say that last list, I don't think anybody would volunteer for that, would you? But yet, as we live our lives in this world as Christians, we're going to have those good times and we're going to have those low times, those frustrating, those disappointing, those hard, challenging times. And so with that in mind, with that context in mind, that's when the writer of Hebrews here says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." What I want us to look at is three key ideas in this verse here. And the first one is, let us throw off everything that hinders. How many of you are easily distracted? Yeah. You got ADD or ADHD or something like that if you're easily distracted. In one of my classes at the seminary, the professor told us if a fire truck goes by and you look out of the window, that's one of the criteria that you might have be ADD or ADHD because you have to meet a certain number. Well, I don't just look out of the window. I jump in my truck and go sit. No, I'm just kidding. I have done that before. But anyway, you know, we get distracted. And you know, I was thinking about this morning. As we come to church here, where is our focus? Hopefully on Christ and what He's done for us. And I was, if you can just think back to the first song that we sang, I was mouthing words to a wonderful song, and y'all sang really well on that opening song. But what was I thinking about? Whether or not someone was in the back turning my knobs down so that I wouldn't be heard on the recording over everyone else. I mean, I sit up here on the front row every Sunday morning, and I have the perfect place to focus on the words that's being read, the songs that are being sung, and I'll have to admit that a lot of times I get distracted if cue didn't fire right on our screen, thinking, "Oh my goodness, what did I mess up now? What didn't I catch?" Or if my microphone pops, you know, like it does sometimes, and I get so distracted about those things that I lose focus on what we're here for. And so we can all get so easily distracted. But it says, throw off everything that hinders us. And so we are to stay focused, which is extremely hard, and especially this time of the year. It's so easy to get caught up in all the what? The commercialism of Christmas, that we lose sight of the real meaning of Christmas. And it goes on and says, let us throw off the sin that so entangles us. You know, when I get so easily distracted like that, it causes a disruption. And so that makes me what? A what? Go ahead and say it. Makes me a sinner. Am I a sinner? Yes, I am. Although some of the preschool kids think I'm God and Jesus, but they have something to learn, and they'll learn it pretty quickly that nobody's perfect. But we get distracted and we get disrupted. And this idea of getting entangled in your sin. I'm going to say that everybody here has something that can easily entangle them. And it's different, maybe different for every single person. It could be gossip. It could be the internet. It could be various different things that can just reach out and grab us. And I thought about this a few weeks ago. I went to Cisco and cut some wood, and my dad went out with me and we cut in an area, and I think we have those around here too. Briars? Are there briars everywhere? Okay. And so we went to a patch where there were a lot of dead trees, but also briars and everything. And my dad said, you know, I've got to be real careful here, because I've got to watch where I step, because those briars will reach up and they'll grab my pants and I'll fall down. And I thought, isn't that kind of like sin that entangles us? I mean, we get caught in sin and it just drags us down. It trips us and it throws us down on the ground and we find our place in a spot where we don't want to be. And so we have to avoid those places. We have to try to do what we can to stay away from them. We don't want that disruption in our life so that we lose our focus. And so we have those distractions, we have those disruptions that come into our life that can really suck the joy out of us that we are supposed to have. And then third, it says, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. It is so easy to get so distracted, to get so entangled, that we feel like we're lost and we're just ready to throw the towel in. We can't take any more. We don't want any more. And you know, if you think about it, there's a passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I believe it's verse 13, that talks about how that we will not be tempted beyond what we can handle or bear. But God, who is faithful, He will provide a way out for us. There's a story told about a college girl. Her name is Sarah Tucholsky. And she played softball all of her life. Wasn't the greatest softball player, but made things happen. Never hit a home run. And in a game in college, she hits this ball. And I mean, people are watching it. And as it goes over the fence, everyone just erupts. I mean, the stands, you can hear them. The team is ecstatic. And there's two runners on base. And they run and they round third and they cross home. And Sarah's nowhere to be found. They're looking to see, where's Sarah? And in the process of going around first, she missed the base. And she tried to go back to it and twisted her knee and tore the ligaments in her knee. And so she was laying face down on the ground there by first base. Well, there was some discussion that took place between the umpires. And if a coach or a teammate helped her, it negated the home run or she was out. If a pinch runner came in, it would be recorded as a single because the pinch runner would have to stay there at first. But what the opposing team does is incredible. Let's watch a video clip.
That's the first home run of the season for number 8, Sarah Tucholsky.
I don't know about you, but I've never seen a run scored like that. But if we stop and think about what just took place there. You see, the officials didn't say anything about an opposing team carrying you across the bases. But that was in a moment that everyone was cheering and one of the most exciting times in a player's career to hit a home run, Sarah's on the ground in pain. But those opposing teammates picked her up and carried her across home plate. That's what God does for us. He picks us up. When we are at the bottom, when we are at what we might think the most painful time in our life, He can bring us joy because He picks us up. Sometimes that way that He provides out for us is Him doing it all for us, picking us up, carrying us through life, carrying us through that difficult situation in our life. We can certainly have Christmas cheer, regardless of what we're experiencing, regardless of what we go through, whether it is the most exciting time for us or one of the deepest, darkest times for us. God steps in and gives us that Christmas cheer, gives us joy. Because when He came into the world that first Christmas, He came into the world to die for us, to bring us forgiveness, and to promise us eternal life. We have Christmas cheer. And now as Christmas people, we're able to share that joy, share that cheer, so that other people's lives can experience that same kind of joy. I pray that as we continue our journey and to celebrate the birth of Jesus, that even when we experience those deep, dark, sad moments, that we find true joy that comes from Jesus Himself. Amen. And now may the peace of God that transcends all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.